Yes. Patience. Patience. Are you patient? Are you? Tell me, what do you need patience? What is patience? What's the opposite of patience? Yes. Impatience. And what is patience and what does impatience look like? What does patience look like? Or, well, let's have a think. When do you need patience? Here's some things when you need patience. I don't know if you can see that, but there's rain on the window there. When the weather is not great outside and it's holidays, you need patience, don't you? Or these boys are desperate to eat what's in the oven there. But you've got to wait till it's ready. And that takes patience. This guy's trying to, well, what's he trying to do? It looks like he's maybe trying to write a story or something. And there's, you can see he's screwed up the balls. Just can't quite get there. You know, when something's hard to do. And then sometimes when you're waiting, do you know this, girls? Do you know when this? When you're waiting, boys and girls, when you're waiting for something to happen and you're kind of watching the clock, when's it going to happen? Or, well, this won't be you, but you know, when your laptop just won't behave and you think, ah, what do you think she's going to do next? Slam the laptop down, I don't know, maybe. Or anybody drive to church like that this morning? Yeah, cars on the road. Patience. Patience. And then what's the problem here? What are these folk doing? They're waiting in a queue, aren't they? Waiting, and for that you need patience, because what happens if you don't get patient? Well, you start getting all sort of upset and angry and frustrated and disappointed. You know, the word in the Bible for patience is a word that literally means long suffering. Long suffering. In other words, you're willing to suffer a long time. You're willing to hold back. And the opposite of that would be something like short-tempered or quick to anger. Something like that. So we need patience for lots of things, actually. But we also need patience with people. And that's what I want us just to think about again for a moment. And I think Aaron's coming to read. Is that right, Aaron? You're going to come and read this. This is Paul. Up you come, Aaron. Yeah, that's great. This is Paul, and he's writing to the Christians in Colossae, and he's reminding them who they are, and he's reminding them also how God, how Jesus wants them to live. So just listen to what Aaron reads from Colossians here.
God has chosen you and made you his holy people. He loves you. So always do these things. Show mercy to others. Be kind, humble, gentle, and patient. Do not be angry with each other, but forgive each other. If someone does wrong to you, then forgive him. Forgive each other because the Lord forgave you. Do all these things, but most important, love each other. Love is what holds you all together in perfect unity.
Thanks, Aaron. So did you hear that? Put that on and put that off just for a wee minute. I'll come back to that. Did you hear that? He said, show mercy to one another. Be kind, be humble, be gentle, be patient. Don't be angry with each other, but forgive one another. Why does he have to say that? Why does he have to say that? Why does he have to say, don't be angry with each other. Be kind, be humble, be gentle, be patient. Why do you think he has to say that? You thinking? Why do we have to be patient with one another? Yeah. And why do we get angry with each other? What do people do sometimes that makes us angry? They could be, if they're impatient with you, then that can make you angry too. But people sometimes hurt us, don't they? They do. They say things. They do things that hurt us. And sometimes we want to get angry. And the Bible would say to us, no, be patient. Be patient. Don't jump to anger. Don't jump to say things. Sometimes when we're impatient, what we're really doing is we're giving up on people. We're not loving them. We're not giving them a chance. And so Paul is just saying to them, no, please be patient, be gentle, and especially be forgiving. All of these things belong together. They belong together. Be patient. And we all need patience because we get hurt and people hurt us. Sometimes they do it deliberately. Sometimes often they don't. But we need patience with one another. So where does patience come from? And how do you grow patience? Well, remember, patience is a fruit of the Spirit. And that really means that we need Jesus' help if we're going to be the kind of patient people that he wants us to be. If we're going to be the forgiving people, the gentle people that he wants us to be. We can't be that ourselves. It's part of the fruit of his Spirit. So we need his help. We need to be joined to him, to trust him. But even when we've become followers of Jesus, we'll always need to grow patience. And let me just mention one thing that I think helps. I think it's something that Paul himself must have remembered every time when he struggled to be patient with others. He remembered, I think, I'm sure he did, he remembered, well, never, just before we go back to Paul, what about Herbert, the snail? Do you remember the chorus in that song? Be patient, don't be in a hurry, because if you're in a hurry, you'll always just worry. And then he said, remember, anybody remember what he said? I know, you only heard it once. God is patient too. God is patient. And I think that's what Paul must have remembered. He must have remembered how patient God had been with him before he became a follower of Jesus. Before he'd been so bad to the followers of Jesus before he became a follower. He thought they were all crazy. He thought they were all wrong. He thought they should oppose them. And then he met Jesus. And Jesus, he realized, had been so patient with him to call him to himself. And so he wrote later, he said this. He said, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience to me as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. So there it is. Paul never forgot the patience of the Lord with him. And that's so important for every follower of Jesus. God has constantly been patient. When we weren't Christians, he was patient with us. When we turned our backs on him, he didn't turn his back on us. When we went wandering off from him, he came looking for us. That's all patience. And those of us who are Christians know that constantly we mess up, we muck up, and he's patient. And so remember the patience of the Lord Jesus with us. And that is one of the ways to encourage us to be patient with one another. Okay. Right, well, we're going to think a little bit about something else in a moment, but we're going to sing a song. So again, it's based on a song. It's It's got a chorus in it. I think a lot of folks will know it, about waiting for God, which is part of patience. Waiting, waiting. Listen, girls, I need somebody's help here. Can't have both. You can have that right now, on your tongue, in your mouth. Or you can have that at the end of the service. Or you can have that on the last meeting of the Girls' Brigade next May. You will. Great. Now, what does that mean? What is Katrina telling us?
That you like chocolate.
Yes, that's true. Anything else she's telling us, Jamie? She's willing to be patient, to wait for the best thing. That's the best one, isn't it? The best thing to come. Okay? So I will come, Katrina, on the last meeting of the Girls' Brigade in May with this for
me.
Yeah. Okay. All right, go and sit down. Right, okay. So, right. Right, now, I need help for another thing too, though. This is not so easy, okay? Right? So anybody, I'll not tell you what it is, but this is not so easy. This is not so sweet, I'm telling you. Okay, yes? Do you want to come? Yep, come on. You tell me your name too.
Amelia.
Amelia, great, Amelia. Well, thank you for coming out to help. Okay, Amelia, right, I've got three things here, and they're not chocolate, okay? Right, so I've got this, okay? I've got this, okay? And I've got this. Can you read what that says on that? On that? 20 kilograms. Right, Katrina. So, which one would you like to lift? Would you? Do you want to have a go? Well done. Right. Now, hold it up. How long do we think she can hold it there for? Oh, Katrina, don't do anything silly. I'll be in trouble. That's very good. Okay. That's. Well, I think that deserves a big round of applause. That's very good. Right. You go and sit down, Katrina. And listen, Katrina, you can have that one at the end of the service for that. Okay, for that. Okay, right. So, now listen, there was patience. There's a different kind of patience actually in those two. There's that patience waiting for something good, but there's another kind of patience too, which is kind of, well, what this is about really. It's enduring something hard, difficult, because it's not easy. I mean, I couldn't keep holding that for all the rest of the time, because that would eventually, it would just sink me. And if it was that one, this one, even worse. So you see, sometimes waiting for things to come, good things, but also hard things, enduring them, that's difficult. And I wanted us just to think about all of that for a moment. I need to just move this chocolate for a minute. I wanted us to think about that because I wanted us to think about, again, I know some of you have been doing story of, well, if he's there, let me see if I can find him. Anybody know who that is meant to be? Joseph. Somebody's been doing the story of Joseph? Yes, okay. Well, do you remember the story of Joseph? Do you remember Joseph? There's Joseph, there he is. Remember he had 11 brothers? Do you remember his brothers were jealous of him? Anybody remember why they were jealous of him? Yep. Because of his coat? Anything else? Jamie? He was. And remember he had dreams. Do you remember his dreams? And his dad loved him, his dad seemed to love him better than anybody else. Is that right? Yep. Do you remember any of his dreams? Do you remember that dream? That was the dream he had. Remember, he had the dream. He saw everyone. It was a dream about him and his family, his brothers, and they were all gathering sheaves of corn, and there was Joseph in the middle, and it seemed to be the most important one, the famous one. It was as if everybody was going to bow down to him one day, and he must have thought, ooh, is that a promise? Somebody saying that I'm going to be important, great. He must have wondered, what was that about? And then do you remember what happened the next bit? Because his brothers were jealous. Remember, there he is, and they wanted to kill him. And they thought about killing him, but they didn't kill him. Remember in the end what they did? Yep. That's right. They sold him, didn't they, to the people who were slave trading. And they took him away. Remember where they took him? Remember where he ended up, Jamie? Egypt, that's right. There in Egypt. And there in Egypt, remember what happened there? Came into the house of this man called Potiphar. And actually he was doing well. He was doing well. God was with him and he was doing well. And then what happened? Do you remember Potiphar's wife told lies about him? And do you remember what happened to him then? He ended up where? He did. He ended up in jail. Poor Joseph. In jail. And he's not done anything wrong. And he must be thinking, where's that promise about being an important person someday? Here am I, I'm in prison and I haven't done anything wrong. What's going on here? And then do you remember who he met in the prison? He met a baker who worked for the king, made bread for the king, and he met a cupbearer who served the king wine. And do you remember what happened to them? They had dreams. One night, they both had dreams. And do you remember that Joseph was able, with God's help, to interpret their dreams? And he said to the cupbearer, he said to him, listen, in 3 days' time, you're going to get out of prison. You're going to go back to the king. You're going to be serving the king wine again. And when that happens, he said to him, please remember me because I'm stuck in this prison and I haven't done anything wrong. Please remember me. And then when the baker heard that he'd given a good interpretation of the cupbearer's dream, he said, well, tell me my dream. And he said to him, well, 3 days. And the king's going to hang you on a pole. So, what happened next? Well, Kayla, I think he's going to read for us somewhere. Good. Kayla, listen to this. This is the next little bit of the story, and you listen carefully to it.
3 days later, it was the king's birthday, so he gave a feast for all his officers. In front of his officers, he let the chief officer who served his wine and the chief baker out of prison. The king gave his chief officer who served wine his old position. Once again, he put the king's cup of wine into the king's hand, but the king hanged the baker on a pole. Everything happened just as Joseph said it would. But the officer who served wine did not remember Joseph. He forgot all about him.
It's that last little bit, boys and girls, that was so hard for Joseph. He'd told them the dreams. It had happened just as he said. The cupbearer went back to serve wine to the king. He was free. But he forgot Joseph. Do you know for how long he forgot him? Anybody know for how long Joseph was in the jail after that time? 2 years. Can you think? 2 years is a long time. And he's just having to, and he's thinking, why, God, where are you? What's happening to me? This is terrible. It's like he's having to carry this weight of being in prison. And he's having to hold it all this time. And he's thinking, when will this end? When will this end? And of course, it did end. It did end, if you remember, you know the rest of the story, when Pharaoh had dreams and they couldn't find anybody to interpret. And then the cupbearer went, Joseph, he'll be able to tell you your dreams. And he was. And Joseph became prime minister. And God's promise to him was fulfilled. But he had to wait so long for that good thing. And while he was waiting for that good thing, he'd had to be so patient under so many hard things. And that's often what patience is like. And I brought something here to show you. I think I've hidden it somewhere. Where it is? Here it is here. Do you know what that is? Can anybody read the word at the top of that? Can you read that? It's a timetable. Do you have a timetable? Do you do that at school these days? Do you have a timetable for school? You do? You know, this one's about something that's happening in Melbourne next week on different days, different times, different people are doing different things. That's a timetable. Well, do you know this? Everybody's got a timetable. Everybody in this room has got a timetable. We've all got good things that we want to happen, and we know when we would like them to happen. We have a timetable. And there'll be people in the room here today who have hard things going on in their life, and they'll have a timetable and they'll be thinking, I know when I would like that to stop. Everybody's got a timetable. Joseph had a timetable. He wanted out of prison quickly. But do you know something else, boys and girls? And this is so important. God has a timetable. God, this is what Joseph discovered, that God had a timetable for him. And Joseph's timetable didn't quite match God's timetable. But eventually it was God's timetable that came to pass. And Joseph did come out of prison and he did have his promise fulfilled, but it was in God's time. And that's something, one of the things all of us have got to work out is when our timetable and God's timetable don't match, who are we going to trust? Who are we going to trust? And one of the things, if you're going to trust God's timetable, and I hope you will, you're going to need patience for that. Joseph had to learn patience. Everyone who's ever trusted God, trusted Jesus, and his timetable has had to learn patience. And it's so important. And Joseph did learn patience, and he was able to look back and think, God has brought me the good things that he promised. And he has taken away the bad things that happened to me, but it's been in his time, and he's actually turned those bad things to good things. That's what he was able to say when he looked back. And that's what happens in God's timetable. He always, even the bad things that sometimes he leaves us with, he turns them to good things. And so how can we learn that kind of patience, especially under hard things that we'd love to end? Well, I think again, it's just looking to Jesus. This is just a little line from Hebrews where the writer is just trying to encourage Christians to be patient. Let us look only to Jesus, he said. He's the one who began our faith. He makes our faith perfect. Jesus suffered death on the cross, but he accepted the shame of the cross as if it were nothing. He did this because of the joy, the good thing that God set before him. He was willing to wait for that. And now he's sitting at the right side of God's throne. He's enjoying that good thing. But think about Jesus, he said. He held on patiently while sinful men were doing evil things against him. Look at Jesus' example so you'll not get tired and give up. And that's always the great temptation. We get tired. We think, Lord, when's this going to end? When's this going to end? Or when's this good thing going to come? And we give up. Jesus, no, he held on. He remembered the good thing. He was sure it was coming. He trusted God's timetable. He went through all the suffering that he endured on earth and all the suffering in his death because he knew the resurrection was coming and he knew the ascension was coming, and he didn't give up. And so if you're looking for patience, it's him. It's the fruit of him and knowing him. So listen, you have listened really patiently to all of that, but I hope you may remember some of that. Yes, we're going to sing this song that just reminds us as well. Somebody said to me this week, God is never in a hurry. Here's a good line for you to remember, boys and girls. God is never in a hurry. And let me just pray for us all just in a moment. Lord God, we do thank you that we have the opportunity this morning to remember all this work that goes on Tuesday by Tuesday, on so many Tuesdays throughout the year, and so much of the work that goes on behind that, particularly for the leaders. We thank you for each one of them, and we pray for your continued blessing on them, Lord. Sustain them, encourage them, equip them in their faith, in their service. Thank you for each of them. And thank you too for all these girls, from the youngest to the oldest, those who are here today, but those also unable to be here. We do thank you for each one. And we pray, Lord, that, well, we know you will be present at each of their meetings on a Tuesday. And we pray that they will have great fun. We pray too, Lord, that as they open the Bible together at different times, as they get the chance to think and to talk or to ask questions, we pray that you'd be present with them, speaking with them, answering, Lord, we pray, their questions, encouraging them in their faith and trust in yourself. So do bless this company, we pray, as it goes on, and bring others in, we pray, through it. And we do remember every family represented here too. We pray for your blessing on each one of those too. And Lord, for ourselves as a church family, again, we just bring the needs of our family to you. We particularly remember today those whose hearts are broken in one way or another. We remember Christine and Gemma and Ian, the Dunnett family. Lord, draw near to them. We remember also the family of Mary Mackay. But Lord, you'll be aware that there are many who are waiting for good things to come and many who are having to endure under harder things. And we would pray for grace for each one and for us all. And we thank you again for you, Lord Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith. Keep us looking to you, we pray. And all we ask is in your name and for your sake. Amen.